Griffin here.
None of these scenarios are based on any real-life events. Everything is made up entirely on the spot. Take it away, song! Hello!
Hi.
I'm Griffin.
And I'm Bones, and I'm Steve.
Whoa! Bones first. Steve's just the nickname, eh?
For today.
And this is Killed to Death.
The improvised true crime podcast.
The internet's nastiest secret.
We should mention this app is only on the dark web, so if you found it and you're listening to it, congratulations.
You know, a dark web podcast, that's probably, you know, that's a niche audience, I bet. Not a lot of people are making podcasts just for the unfindable darkness of the web.
No. And so every once in a while,
we're the perfect vibe for the dark web, I think.
Oh my, I think the dark web would love us.
Steve, before we talk about your impending departure, we were treated to a little impression right before we started rolling, and I don't want to deprive the listeners.
All right, everyone gets to hear.
I'm going to do a bit of James Lipton here. Oh, okay.
I was going to say, see if you can guess who this is. I'll give you a hint. He's in show business. He lives in Springfield. And he's a clown. Ugh.
It's really good.
Yeah. Pretty good, huh?
Thank you, Bob.
And listeners, write in killtodeathpodcast@gmail.com. Write in your guesses and your murder suggestions.
What are we giving away for this prize here? This is the Steve Cook impression contest.
Yeah, I mean, if you get it right, not only will we reply to the email, we'll read out your name on the show and give you a thank you. That's literally all we could do. What, are we going to send them something? I don't have anything.
No, you are in we're both in empty white rooms.
No, we sold all our stuff to pay for this podcast.
This podcast is so expensive.
I know.
Got to pay off Mike to keep us on sonar.
I know, but it's worth it.
Now, Steve, did I hear right that you have an impending departure?
Somebody said that and someone was right. Tomorrow, and you don't even know when this is recorded, listeners, so good luck trying to track me across
the
globe.
You will be back when this episode comes out.
Exactly. So joke's on you. You missed out on my entire trip. And I am gone, and I'm across the narrow sea. I'm off to Europe, Portugal, a place I've never been in my life, and France, a place I've never been in my life. So two new ones, check off the list. And
Chekhov's list. That's going to come back.
You're going to mention that later in the pod.
Yeah.
And, of course, we're going to take this opportunity to tell you how best to travel, which is how best to pack, because you got to be prepared. And this is if you're not checking a bag, which we're not doing.
Oh, this is specifically
all carry on.
All carry on.
That's right. It's an all carry on, carry all on. So keep calm.
That's your tip number one. Keep
That's
calm.
Tip number one. Keep calm and carry all on. And after that, everything's going to be a lot easier. Have 5 or 6 melatonin before you go.
And that's just for the luggage process, you're saying?
Yeah. That's just to get through security.
With your one bag.
Yeah.
I'm going to say make sure everything has a handle. If you're going to be carrying it onto the plane, if you've got a lot of little things, it's going to be very tough to balance them all in your arms. So make sure each one is like easy to carry. Maybe put everything on a string that you can kind of just carry the one stringed item, like a big key ring.
Yeah, that's good. Make sure, maybe punch a little hole in everything so it can kind of all slot.
That's right.
On
so
the
toothpaste
string.
Can leak down on everyone's head while you're in the air.
You're holding it above their heads?
Well, it's going to end up there, right? In the storage
compartment. The overhead compartments, of course. Yep. You can't be holding your key ring the whole flight. And that's a rule now.
Oh, really? Is that a 9/11 thing?
Yeah.
Steve, what's your tip? One more tip each.
My other tip is don't even bother wearing shoes. They're going to make you take them off during security anyway, so show up barefoot. It's also way comfier for the plane. And then if you try, some people take off their shoes on the plane and it's like, oh, nice. Yeah, your stinky feet. Well, guess what? My shoes have been off this whole time and I don't have any shoes. So good luck complaining.
I have a similar tip, which is, yeah, show up without your shoes on. But here's what I'm thinking is those people are going to take off their shoes on the plane. And that's a great chance for free shoes.
Yeah, that's great. And also my final tip, I know I'm just going to throw a bonus one out here is,
oh,
stand up as soon as you land and start grabbing all your stuff, because you're going to get off the plane way quicker that way. Just get up and really gather all your things, put on your coat. And
lean over the people who are still sitting.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Really get up in their business and then stand in the aisle and look at your phone and check your watch and tap at your thigh and really... really make sure the plane knows you're ready to go.
My bonus tip is boo when the plane lands.
If it's a crash landing, you should.
Steve, speaking of crash landing and potential peril, would you like to solve a murder?
Mm-hmm.
The victim, Clark Coupon, editor. Today's guest, Hubert Hugg, restaurant critic, who found Clark dead. Hubert, hello.
Howdy, boys.
Howdy, boy.
How are you?
Well, I'm doing okay. Mixed. I'm mixed.
What's
good
the...
Insanely good things are happening to me, and insanely nasty things are happening to me.
Well, let's start with the good.
I just found my adopted parents.
Wow, congratulations.
Thank you, thank you.
When did they go missing?
No. I grew up with my birth parents, and I never knew who my adopted parents were.
Who they would have been if your parents had been.
Who had filled out half of the paperwork and then decided against it. But recently I managed to get back in contact with them, and there were tears, there were hugs. God, it was a beautiful sight.
Well, I'm so happy you were able to do that.
Thank you. It wasn't easy. They don't keep any kind of records about this.
Yeah, how did you figure it out?
I went on that, do you know that show Finding Your Roots or whatever like that? They do Ancestry for celebrities.
Okay.
I went on that show and they said, you're not really a celebrity and this isn't anything to do with us. But I said, Henry Louis Gates, do me a favor. And he did.
So you would say a restaurant critic such as yourself does not qualify for celebrity status?
I don't think so. I mean, they have stars of stage and screen up there, or athletes. Well,
who's the most famous restaurant critic that maybe other people might know?
Maybe Oliver Platt's character from the movie Chef?
The Michelin Man?
Oh, yeah, that's it. Not Oliver Platt's character from the movie Chef. It's the Michelin Man. He knows the best restaurants that serve white tires.
You know the stars
Wait,
are coming to Toronto?
White tires?
He eats white tires.
Steve, I had heard this.
What did you say? Sorry?
The stars are coming to Toronto. The stars are out.
Okay.
TIFF is soon.
Yeah, that's right.
Bingo.
No, the star Michelin star rating system is coming
Michelin
to
Man
Toronto.
Hands them out. And
oh,
he's going to
yes,
be doing
this
it
is
in our town.
This is a very exciting time for people in my industry. A whole lot of little nibbly goodies to try.
Are you a Toronto-based restaurant critic?
I'm Toronto-based, but I go on the road as well. Hmm. I'm in high demand.
And what do you look for in a restaurant?
What I look for in a restaurant is three things. Presentation.
So not quality of food at all.
No.
That
doesn't
is
matter how it tastes.
Completely secondary. I want to be wowed.
Well, it's actually fourth theory.
Yeah, it's fourth theory. God, I want to be bowled over. Some of my best restaurants I've ever been to have been in a bowling alley.
Because they have the best presentation?
Yeah.
Do you just mean in terms of fun going on around you?
Oh, there's fire, there's little lights, there's big sounds, there's crazy
fire?
Animations on the oldest TVs in the world.
Yeah, that is cool. It's like if you get a strike, it looks like the pins are going to jail or something.
Oh my God,
yeah.
I could watch that all day. I could watch that and shovel down cold chicken fingers and be the happiest little goose on earth.
Sometimes they get rounded up by a lasso cowboy bowling pin.
Yeah. I saw that one. I gave a standing O.
What's your favorite bowling animation?
Probably the one where the one little pin objects at the wedding of the other two pins.
Is that a split?
I don't know. It must have been. I don't know crud about bowling.
So the best restaurant you've ever eaten at, is it a bowling alley?
I wouldn't say the best. Those are, I would say top 10, kind of 2 to 10 are generally bowling alleys.
So what's number one? Tell us about the best restaurant you've ever been to.
Okay, this is going to sound a little crazy, but I swear to God, the meal was amazing. I got sucked up into a tornado one day. I was minding my own business. I got sucked up.
You were provoking the tornado.
No, I was only sitting on my bench reading a paperback. But I got sucked up into the tornado, and I got plopped down into a tree right next to this little bird's nest. And also, I guess there had been a cheese sandwich in there. It had gotten plopped down in the bird's nest as well. So I ate it, and it was just amazing. I felt like I was part of nature.
Right, so the presentation of it just being in a bird's nest in a tree.
And all the birds kind of flapping and cawing. It was amazing. It was unbelievably amazing.
Now, where
I was just going to say, how do you review something like that? And you recommend other people to just hang around there until they also get sucked up and have a similar experience?
Well, I kind of hoped that I could write about it in such a way that it would drum up enough support that they would open it, kind of turn that experience into a restaurant on that site. But turned out it was an eagle sanctuary, and I actually got a $700 fine.
Yeah, and what tip did you leave on that fine?
Oh my God, you're joking. You've got to be joking.
Do you tip in your line of work?
I tip anywhere from 0% to 5%, so they know that a restaurant critic was there.
Now, do they ever have like a heads up? Like, can you tell when people are really putting on the show for you?
Oh yeah. That's another reason you don't like restaurant critics to be too famous, you know, because it kind of upsets the thing. But there was this whole big news kerfuffle about me destroying all these eagles' eggs, so my face was all over the place, and for a few months after, it was very hard to do my job in peace and quiet.
Could have gone in disguise, I suppose.
Exactly. Honestly, exactly.
And where do these reviews go? This is literature?
I work for a magazine, of course.
Which magazine is this?
Jacuzzi.com's magazine.
Okay, so this is the printed pages of jacuzzi.com.
Yeah, it kind of sources all of the best reviews and products and kind of interactive little games and crosswords from jacuzzi.com and turns it into a daily magazine.
Why do they need our restaurant
daily magazine?
Oh, sorry, yeah. Two good questions.
Yeah, it's a daily. I guess you haven't been to jacuzzi.com. They're updating that crap constantly. There's tons of great. Because not only is it a terrific place for articles, it's also a social experience.
How so?
How many do you need to be writing to keep up with this?
Oh, yeah. I go to restaurants almost once a week. It's crazy sometimes.
So is your column weekly, or do you just have to every day find a new thing about for that week? You had gone to.
It's a daily column, and I've got to break down every restaurant into usually 7 installments, and I'm not going to lie to you, Griffin. By the end, it's pretty bare bones. Those are some pretty thin reviews around Saturday, Sunday.
Well, if you had chicken wings, that's all that'd be left on the plate.
That's
joking.
Funny.
Listeners can write in as to which Simpsons character you just heard.
It's actually a pretty interesting story of how I got onto Jacuzzi.com's magazine's radar.
Steve, would you like to hear it?
Please.
Well, interestingly enough, I had gone to journalism school to be a writer, of course. And I started working at a bunch of different big newspapers, big magazines, kind of doing food reviews and critic reviews. And then I...
You would review critics? Like other critics in the industry?
Yeah.
Who's the best critic?
Oh my God, I would slam Roger Ebert. I would say, this guy's barely even talking about food.
Oh, so you would review every critic on the basis that they were a restaurant critic.
Well, it wasn't even that so much. Obviously, he would claim his kind of thing was movies or whatever, but I saw him at a ton of restaurants. He could have spared a couple of column inches. I hate that guy.
Okay, so sorry, you were reviewing these critics at Big Magazine.
Big Magazine's newspapers, exactly. And then, you know, I had developed quite a reputation. The coins started coming in. I could put two and two little coins together. So I wanted to invest in a jacuzzi for me and all of my family to just ooze in, right? And then...
You wanted to put the ooze in jacuzzi.
Exactly. Before, it was just Jackie. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jackie plus ooze equals jacuzzi.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, interesting
so
stuff.
We can all agree it used to be Jackie.com before you came along.
And put the devoted ooze to Jackie.
Yeah, it was devoted to Jackie Kennedy and her fashions and the historical periods of her life. Anywho, though, I wanted to buy a jacuzzi, and I just got transfixed by this website. It was an amazing community, and I knew I wanted to be a part of it.
And they have room in their budget for a restaurant critic.
One? There's 13 of us!
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Why do you have to do a daily column then? Why can't one of the other 13 do a column that day?
We're all doing a column every day. Jacuzzi owners, you know, these people have spending money. They want to know about restaurants. It's not just restaurants. Also find silks, porcelain dolls, all these kind of consumer goods.
How thick is the jacuzzi.com magazine?
Have you ever seen a phone book?
Sure. Yeah.
Imagine about 40 of those stacked on top of each other.
Every day.
I pity these little boys delivering these magazines. They've got some of the most crooked spines. It's honestly really sad, and it actually makes, I think about it just about every day.
Well, yeah, it's your job, I guess, to...
It's hey, it's my job, it's my dream, but every dream's got downsides.
Yeah, what's the bad that's happening? You said you had some insanely good stuff happen, i.e. your adoptive parents were found, but what's the insanely bad stuff that's been happening?
Well, notwithstanding the death of my poor editor.
Oh, sure, yeah. Anything else?
Yeah, unfortunately, my old treehouse got demolished.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Was it in the Eagle Sanctuary?
No, that's what made it so funny. It was actually just the government getting retribution. Those wildlife service agents came and they actually opened fire on my beloved treehouse.
They were just shooting at it for hours until it was just splinters.
It was nuts. I didn't even know wildlife services guys got machine guns to begin with.
Do they know that a tornado put you in that sanctuary?
I tried to explain, and they said that's no excuse for eating the cheese sandwich. Once the cheese sandwich lands, it belongs there. So it was kind of really bogus, and I'm basically in a feud with Biden.
Oh, you're American.
No, well, the tornado lifted me over the border. This is another thing. It's hard to do these cross-jurisdictional things. I also, you know, I didn't get my passport stamped or whatever. That was a whole other thing.
And now let's talk about the death of your poor editor. First of all,
yeah.
Is he the sole editor for jacuzzi.com?
Not the jacuzzi.com, the magazine, not the online site.
Oh, he doesn't have any say into the actual article's content.
Well, okay, it's a little confusing. A lot of the stuff in the magazine is from the website, but there's also some original content for the magazine, stuff that's a little more highbrow.
Like what?
Like, different short stories, per example, or tons of different things about fancy watches.
Okay, so he would figure out how best to combine those with all the printed out web pages of the day.
Exactly. The person who runs the website, we've never learned his name.
Right, because I guess you're dealing mostly with Clark Coupon.
Exactly. Good old Clark C.
And
Coupon. Go on.
How long have you worked at jacuzzi.com for?
Next week is going to be my 13-year anniversary.
Wow. Hey, was Clark working there for that whole time?
Clark's been there since the 60s, baby. He was one of the original movers and groovers.
At jacuzzi.com?
Well, Jackie first.
Oh, yeah. He originally came into it as a big admirer of Jackie O.
On ARPANET or whatever it was.
Exactly. Originally, this was just for people in the Defense Department and the Pentagon. And they could go on there and they could talk about how much they like Jackie Kennedy, and they could also read restaurant reviews and reviews of fine silks. And
oh, so it did have all that stuff as well.
Yeah.
Interactive games.
Interactive games. Oh, yeah. Exactly.
How much of this magazine is printed out stills from the interactive games?
That is the bulk, probably. Because, you know, you want to get every single frame, and we only do one-sided, so people can take their... Just take notes on the other side of the page.
And you can make it into a flip book, I guess, and it kind of looks like you're playing the game.
From the side?
What?
Yeah, what?
Looks like you're playing the game from the side if you're flipping it like this. If you're flipping it like this, it looks good.
Okay, for the listener, can you break this down?
Horizontal good, vertical bad.
I still don't know what you're talking about. But Clark's been there forever.
Oh, he's been there since the swinging 60s, baby. He was one of these hippie summer love guys.
So during your 13 years, did you get close to Clark?
He often kind of would consider me kind of his protege, actually.
He would often kind of consider you that?
Often he would kind of consider me that. Not every day, and when he did, not fully, but kinda.
Wow, this is a tragedy.
He would take me a little bit under his wing.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. If he wasn't busy flapping it in the marketing department or something.
How would you describe him?
I would describe him thusly, probably. I would say beautiful soul, incredible style, never talks. Hmm. And also, really, really cute.
Okay, so beautiful soul, incredible style, never talked, really cute.
Yeah, man of few words.
And he would have been fairly old, I would assume.
Yeah, he was one of these original swinging 60s guys from the summer of love.
So he was in his 60s.
Yeah, he was 60 years old.
And he just started swinging.
Yeah, 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 yeah. He had a swing set up in the building.
In the jacuzzi.com headquarters.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, the headquarters of the magazine. I don't mean to be prickly about this distinction,
but
we don't know.
Different building entirely.
Oh, wow.
We don't know where the internet people work or who they are. We just get faxed this stuff and we put it in our magazine, plus our own short stories and our own watch reviews.
But you also publish to the website, no?
Sometimes we fax back, but they never publish our stuff online, I wish.
Oh, I assumed your restaurant reviews were going up online, so you're just an addition to the magazine.
I'm magazine only.
Oh, okay.
Well, that's why they didn't consider you famous.
Yeah, that's true. People posting online are so big shots these days. It's true. It's honestly true. But I love it. I love the business. I loved Clark Coupon. It's really a sad day for all of us.
Let's talk about you finding his body.
Sure.
Where was this?
Oh, blah, 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 blah. I hate to put myself back there. I don't like to do bad memories. But for you boys, I'll do it.
You're unique.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, the two of us, we would always, you know, we would go on walks, you see. Walks around the pond or down the road, and he would tell me all about the swinging 60s, baby.
Wow, but without talking, so just a lot of, like, hand gestures.
Well, yeah, hand gestures, or he would type something on his phone and pass it to me to read.
He'd almost kind of put his arm around you, but not quite.
Yeah, he'd keep me at a respectful distance. Anyway, well, I was on our walk one day, and I noticed he wasn't even there. I'd walked 30-odd miles without him. And then I went, and I tried to call him, and I couldn't find him anywhere. Eventually, I went to his house, and he was just standing on the lawn, dead as a doornail.
Wow, but standing straight up.
Standing straight up in a military salute.
A standing S.
Yeah. Like, I think he'd always talk to the tat. That's how he wanted to go. He wanted to be standing salute as if Jackie O's limo was passing him by.
Wow, that's a very specific wish, but it ended up being granted.
Well, not fully. She died decades ago.
But he's saluting as if.
Maybe, but also maybe someone put him there as a cruel joke. I've learned all about repositioning bodies.
Why is that?
Oh, Now this is suspicious.
Not in a suspicious way, just in a hobby way. This is a new hobby of mine.
Is repositioning corpses.
It's just interesting. Sometimes killers will put them in spooky poses to freak everybody out, or the family will put them in a gentle pose to cool everybody down.
Now, what have you found out about a saluting pose?
Usually to mock people who want to celebrate Jackie O. Wow. Or on account of the military. This is also something from the military I hope you boys didn't know.
You hope we didn't know that.
Yeah, so I could tell you, and it would be an interesting fact.
So he was there standing up, saluting. Did he have sign of wound or injury?
He was dead.
How could you tell?
Yeah.
Well, he had just all white skin, dead cold, no arms. Except for the one that was saluting.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, the one that was saluting, but not the other one. Not the other one.
Other than the one, he had no arms.
No arm and a big hole in him.
Where in him?
Kind of the torso.
Okay.
About yay big. For the listener, I'm doing a circle about this size. I guess, what would you say that? About a grapefruit?
Yeah, about a grapefruit. It looks like your head, but your hands are also closer to your webcam, so the proportion is off.
Because I could do this, and that looks like your head, too.
Forrest's perspective is nutty. It's really nutty.
But he had a hole in his torso.
Yes.
And an arm missing.
Yes. And I know what you're thinking. Did he punch himself in the gut so hard with the arm that it flew through and made the hole? It's not impossible.
Was there any sign of the arm anywhere on the property?
No. That was gone. There's a lot of interesting stuff happened that day.
So at least someone else had to be involved. He couldn't have just punched himself through and his arm flew off, because it would have just been there on the lawn.
I think he was killed, and it's really, really unfortunate.
That's your leading theory?
My leading theory is that it was unfortunate. Somebody did something in an unfortunate manner, and the consequences are also unfortunate.
Well, what we're going to do is take a quick break. And when we come back, hopefully we can figure out who did this unfortunate thing and what our consequences we will decide on. We'll be right back. And we are back on Kill to Death. I'm still here with Bones.
Correct.
Bones, you're going to France.
That can't be... Oh, yeah, it's true. I thought you were about to say something wrong and silly and really make a whole mess of this, but instead you spoke the truth.
They put people like you in the catacombs there. Bones,
yeah, when I take a tour.
Yeah, they put you down there on the tour.
They put me down there for the tour.
Are you excited?
I'd say yes.
Is that a good question?
Yeah, and follow-up is right on.
What are you least excited for in Portugal?
Probably the freaking Portuguese tarts.
Hey!
Oh, you know what? Now, this is great, because we're here with Hubert Hug. You're a restaurant critic. In Portugal or France should Steve check out?
Okay,
any good bowling alleys?
No, great. Yeah, okay. You think you've pegged me down as just a restaurant critic that loves bowling alleys? And
that's just
one
spots
Eagle's
2 through 10.
That's only 2 through 10 of your.
I like all
friends.
Kinds of restaurants, as a matter of fact. Don't you know?
One of
French
them.
Food, Portuguese food. There's a cute little restaurant in the heart of Paris, right by the Eiffel Tower, that I think you should check out.
What's it called?
It's called, and you're gonna, I know you're gonna ride my ass for this one. It's called Le Bon Bowling Academy.
The Good Bowling Academy.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice.
So this is more of a university.
Yeah, it's a university, and they have basically a McDonald's in there, and also a tiny little place that you can just bring your own bread to do toast.
Do you mean a toaster?
I guess so, but also if you bring your own butter, they have a knife.
Oh, okay. So it
wow,
chose to
self-serve.
Yeah. I love to travel, man. One of my
favorite
top
place,
hobbies.
Favorite place in the world?
My favorite place in the world gotta be, well, I don't know, Ottawa.
Now, I'll try and breeze through this. Hubert, you've got a lot of good and bad going on in your life. The good is that you recently connected with your adopted parents, that being the parents who would have adopted you if your birth parents hadn't hung on to you for your entire life. You are, of course, a restaurant critic. You write for jacuzzi.com. This is, of course, the website that evolved out of jackie.com before you put the ooze in it when you were looking to buy a jacuzzi with all the money you were making from Big Magazine with your restaurant reviews. You found jacuzzi.com, but you write for, sorry, a distinction, jacuzzi.com magazine. This is
Thank
the
you.
40 phone book size daily magazine that ruins boys' spines.
And girls, these days, and girls.
And it's lots of content for the website, interactive games, stuff like that. But you guys put in your own little articles, your editor, of course, being Clark Coupon. And that brings us to the bad that's happened in your life. Clark Coupon found dead. And also, your treehouse got absolutely shot to splinters by the wildlife department under Biden because of when S Tornado sucked you up and put you in a tree and you ate the sandwich that was in the tree with you. But let's focus on Clark. You, after going for one of your daily walks, you had gotten 30 miles before you realized he was not there at all. You go back to his property. He's there in a salute. Both of his arms gone,
except for one.
Was giving the salute.
Yeah.
A hole the size of a grapefruit in the middle of his torso, and no sign of the other arm. What do you do next?
What did I do next? Well, first I contacted all of his enemies to check that it wasn't one of them.
Oh, they all said no?
Well, they all said no, but I didn't... I'm not a dummy. I didn't take that at face value.
Mm. You said, are you sure?
I said, yeah. I asked 1 to 2 follow-up questions. Most of them I thought it sounded believable. A few of them I went and checked out to see if I could find an arm at their house.
And?
Well, but I found an arm at 3 of their different houses, so I don't know which arm was his.
Well, what was he wearing at the time?
Interesting. He was wearing t-shirt, pants, sweater, sweater vest, jacket, ski pants, skis, a big hat, top hat, mustache, glasses, snowboard, backpack, and of course, panties!
So did any of the arms you found, were any of them, you know, do they have a t-shirt sleeve, a jacket sleeve, a sweater vest sleeve, etc.?
And panty sleeve?
Top hat sleeve?
Here's the thing, they all did. This is the way almost every editor dresses.
Mm. Wait, how many arms did Clark start with?
He started with 2, okay. Monsieur. Yeah.
Oh, I know that.
But there's been a bunch of magazine editors going missing in the recent past.
Maybe this is the work of a serial killer.
I highly doubt it.
Why?
I just don't buy it, frankly. I think you gotta really know Clark and you know who his enemies are, and all of his enemies, they got one murder in them tops. What the hell?
Don't be scared. Don't freak out.
I'm freaking out.
This is just the Skype theme song. It means we're getting another call. I'm going to merge it on in.
Okay.
Hello?
Hello. Well, look who it is.
Griffin Toplitzky.
Oh, of course. And you, Hubert Hug.
Hello.
Charmed.
Yeah.
Charmed.
Yeah, you've
and
charmed
me. Sir. Thank you for having me on the program.
Thank you for being here. Can I
get
your name?
I didn't realize I was double booked. My name is Lawrence Cigarello, and I am a head writer in the jacuzzi.com paper edition.
Yeah, now, Hubert, you're shaking your head. Do you know Lawrence?
I hate the head department where they write about heads.
So you review heads.
Yes. That's one of the only parts that's out of the water.
What?
When you're sitting in a jacuzzi, that's one of the only parts that's out of the water.
We do a lot more than jacuzzis at this magazine.
That's true.
Yeah, really. And yet everything in your life relates back to jacuzzi.
Yeah, oh my God.
You're obsessed.
This guy's such a pretentious fool.
Sir, you're making fun of your fellow jacuzzi.com magazine writer for having a passion for jacuzzis?
Oh, this magazine has grown so much more. It's so much more beyond that now. We review all sorts of things. Like the best heads in the world.
What's your top 10?
I'm going to be honest with you. 2 through 10 are bowling balls painted with faces on them. Perfectly spherical. Already holes fixed in the sides. They're perfectly made. They're perfectly crafted. But number one...
I'm sorry. I also want to say, not like a human head where you have to put in the holes? What are you saying? They're already in there.
I'm saying that a human face, the holes are all out of whack and all out of proportion. These are perfectly all facing one way. Ours, look at us. We're disgusting. 2 hole points going down from your nose, 2 out the sides, 2 partially inward a little bit, and then what? I'm hitting an eye, good luck, and then a mouth, the one big giant gaping hole in the front. It's all horrific. These art pieces are much more articulate about what the ideal head would look like.
I swear to God, we've got the only head reviewer in the whole damn country who can't stand to look at heads.
Oh, I look at them. And
with
I
disgust.
Stand. Yeah. And I stand and salute.
Sorry, what is your number one?
Oh, yeah. My number one has to be a coconut.
For the same reasons as the bowling ball?
No,
it's got
much
no
different
holes
reasons.
In it.
It's a coconut. I survived for many years after a shipwreck on an island, and I made it into the perfect head. He became my friend.
Oh, it was like you're Wilson.
No, way different. I named him Coco, and the two of us lived for many years in perfect harmony, the only head that I would ever need, the only other person. Now I've come back to the world, and I've noticed the imperfections and the oddities in heads, and I'll never be able to achieve that kind of perfect round company that I so loved with Coco.
It really says something about you that you withstood all that and you still came back as the absolute most pretentious D-bag in the world.
Damn.
Sorry, I don't like a single one of my coworkers. D-bag, 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 D-bag. That's me looking around our staff meetings.
It's true, he does do that at every staff meeting, and then he goes off for a jaunt. You know how long he goes for a walk for every day?
How long?
6.5 hours out of the 8-hour day is him walking around. Sure, the grounds are expansive and luxurious, but take your time, why don't you? Sarcasm.
I gotta build up an appetite, you know? Some of us do more work than just looking at heads and saying good head, bad head.
I do far more than that. It is an art.
Now, Steve, do you mind if I volunteer you for a task here?
Yeah.
Lawrence, can you review Steve's head for us as a fun example to the listener of your work?
You're asking for trouble here.
First of all, disgusting. Look at this. Narrow, beady eyes, hair and a floof up top. It's out of control. Beard
like
needs
floof.
Trimming.
It doesn't have bald bowling ball hair.
I don't mind a little hair if it's a little tuft on a coconut.
Right, coconut
just the
fuzz.
Right amount of hair. Well, this fuzz is out of control. In need of a shave. Earlobes drooping. Disgusting.
Oh, Steve, you do have
horrible.
Drooping earlobes.
And too high up. The neck is long. It's perched atop of it. It looks like a Q-tip.
Do you know what the worst thing about this is?
He's right.
If he wrote that all down and published it, he'd win a Peabody. They're giving this guy awards left, right, and center.
Speaking of Peabody, look at this guy.
Oh, Hubert's turn.
I'm kidding, as if I haven't roasted you in every staff meeting we've ever had.
Can we get back to talking about our dead boss?
You have the body of a pea.
Oh, my God.
And Peabody.
Choose it. I can't have a pea head and a Peabody, or else I'd just be 2 damn little peas.
Oh, and you've hit the nail on the head.
I hate it here.
Killed to death. Now let's get back to that dead body. When was the last time either of you had seen Clark alive?
Well, you seem to take him on a daily walk every day.
Well, but I had actually seen him more recently because he had come over that the night before. He was really worried, yes. Really stressed out.
Chums.
Can we put this aside for 1 minute so we can solve
a crime? Can I just pull the room? You, sir, how often would you say you're hanging out with your boss?
My boss is Steve, of course. Quite a bit, at least once a week to record these, and then usually we'll like get together to like watch something.
Thank you.
I wish I had a bigger room to pull. I think it's odd, and I will stand by that. I prefer a professional relationship myself.
Well, anyway, Clark came over and he was all stressed and worried. He typed out on his phone that somebody was after him.
What?
I naturally thought nothing of this.
And what did he type?
Because he would say like things all the time. He was from the swinging 60s, baby.
Well, yes, his brain had been fried.
Yeah. But he said, someone's after me. You gotta hide me. And I said, I can't hide you. I don't have any hiding spots. Are you kidding? Nowhere in here can you hide. This house doesn't have a single spot you can hide, man. I said that until he left.
And is that true?
My house that doesn't have a single hiding spot? Definitely it doesn't. I sometimes try to test it just to make sure. You know, I invite friends, family, coworkers, loved ones, staff over, try to hide. If I take longer than 10 seconds to find everybody, I move.
Now, there's something we can agree on.
Yeah, but you got to understand, after you're in a tornado, you got to take precautions.
So you want to be highly visible.
Definitely. Because the problem was, my old house, there were too many places to hide. I got sucked up in the tornado and it took days for anybody to even realize. They thought I was hiding.
Okay.
See, it all makes a lot of sense, and I don't care to ever be questioned on it.
So you told him to move along, you have no places to hide, and that's where your conversation ended.
Exactly, and now, afterwards, I wish I'd tried, because he was evidently correct.
Yeah.
His enemies got to him, or a serial killer.
Oh,
now, that's interesting, because I suppose I would have sought him right after that, because he came knocking on my door.
Whoa, very unusual. You hang out with your boss after hours?
Well,
you're
that's what I told him. He was knocking and holding up his phone to the peephole and had written on it, please let me in, I'm in trouble. And I said, oh, interesting, I didn't realize it was between the hours of 9 and 5. How very nice. Why don't we just sit down for a quick meeting and a chat and the do's and don'ts of the day? And I said, I don't think so. I will see you promptly tomorrow when I am on the clock. Good day. And then, of course, I had to mime slamming the door because I didn't open it in the first place.
A devastating mime, I'm sure.
Well, if only he would have seen it. I suppose I was inside when I did it. Oh, come to think of it, probably didn't make the impact I thought it did.
It's really rotten. I always told him, don't have so many enemies.
Oh, but
why,
when you're so high up.
Why did he make so many enemies?
Well, you know, he wasn't the easiest guy to get along with. Sure, he was a beautiful soul and he was cute. But he rubbed some people the wrong way, you know? Because during the 60s on ARPANET, talking about Jackie O, you know, the Secret Service wasn't always too pleased about that.
I guess it depends what you're saying.
That's true, but he was saying everything.
I'm going to kill her husband.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they didn't take it too seriously because he was only 3 years old at the time. But then, you know, she obviously got remarried to shipping magnate Aristotle Onassis, became Jackie O, and then I think he has a lot of enemies in the shipping world.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really?
Not to mention all the other print magazines that this one has absorbed. Literally.
I was just looking over his list
of
enemies.
Literally.
They would publish a full issue of At Home magazine, and it's just tucked right in the middle of jacuzzi.com.
Oh, wow.
They did this with all kinds of magazines. They'd pluck one up, they'd buy it, and then all of a sudden you'd see complete issues of Garden Monthly, Garden Weekly.
How much
Garden
is
the
jacuzzi.com magazine? How does this make financial sense to buy other magazines and put them in your magazine?
It makes an awesome amount of sense. But what we would have a ceremony sometimes, you know, to celebrate the acquisition. Where shut up, it makes an awesome amount of sense. We would have a ceremony where we would take the magazine and throw it into a jacuzzi until it evaporated into nothing, and then we would have a pool party.
It was awesome.
Your magazine or the other magazines you would buy?
The old ones.
The old magazines. Your Garden Monthlies, your Garden Weeklies.
Okay. Thank you.
if you really want to dumb down into the economics of it, a subscription costs about $13.50 a year. $13.50 a year.
Right.
And over 45 million people get the subscription. So we actually do pretty good.
So do that math.
Yeah.
It's a lot. So.
But then how many other magazines do you have to buy to put in your magazine?
What's their bot? Their bot.
Yeah, it's true.
What does They're that mean?
What's their bot? Their bot. They're not starting a new Garden Weekly Monthly.
No.
Oh, so you run them out of
we
issues.
We buy it up. No, we buy it up. We buy up all the writers, and then it just keeps churning it out. But the only way to find it is in jacuzzi.com print edition.
That if you are a fan of anything, you've got to get the jacuzzi.com magazine. Mm-hmm. We pick up the stack, we throw it in the jacuzzi, it evaporates, we've got a pool party.
So you're not even reading it.
The readers are reading it. We don't have to read the magazine. We work for the magazine.
Exactly. Tell it to the 45 million who are reading it.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
And I'm sorry, are we getting along?
I guess it's true what they say. Death makes odd bedfellows.
Who's editor now?
The editor now is kind of a so-so guy named Lip Jones.
Lip Jones.
He's so-so. We could agree on that.
Yeah, he doesn't
really
rub. He
used to write about the watches.
Yeah.
He worked his way up.
It's true.
From wristwatches to pocket watches to clocks on the wall.
To the Watchmen.
And then he was reviewing Watchmen. And now he's in charge.
We're concerned. We're kind of pussyfooting around. We don't want to criticize him too much, but he doesn't really have the vision. We're worried to really make the magazine succeed in the way that it has over the years.
Mm-hmm.
Gross soul, bad style, talks to you guys even once.
Not cute.
Oh, you know him.
Just guessing.
Okay, well, that is spot on. You believe some of the things he proposes at these meetings?
I know.
Removing pages from the magazine.
Paying for medical care for the thousands of young boys and girls hospital bound for life.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds like a PR stunt to me.
Yeah. A pretty ridiculous stunt.
Well, it sounds like he actually cares. So I was just wondering if that route, you know, the person who takes over, you're naturally suspicious, but he sounds okay to me.
What about the list of enemies?
Yeah,
the Chekhov's list.
Chekhov's list.
No, there's only two guys on it.
You said there were thousands of enemies in both shipping and magazines.
Yeah, but you went to three of their
homes. This is from the swinging 60s. They've all died, baby.
Oh,
only two are left.
Who are the two remaining ones?
The king of shipping.
Ship King.
Ship King. Priscilla Ship King. And the head of the Secret Service. Samuel Peepy. I think it's either Priscilla Shipking or Samuel Peepy.
Now, are you sure it's not your personal bias against the Secret Service for when all those wilderness guys shot up your house?
I'm trying to keep that out of this. It's true I have no respect for Biden's government.
That's no secret.
No, on account of what they did to my treehouse. But I just don't see that it could be a serial killer. I think it's got to be one of his big, longtime enemies.
Either Priscilla Ship King or Samuel Peepy, head of Secret Service.
Yeah, they were both, they had the means, motive, and they were both there that day.
Really? Okay, let's go over this. What were each of their means, motives, and where were they?
They come into the office all the time.
Yeah.
Why?
Because we share a building with the shipping company and with the Secret Service.
It's kind of a tri-building where it's like all the facilities are shared. So we all have, sometimes it takes me for an awkward trip to the urinal.
Yeah, because sometimes it's full of Secret Service documents or a ship.
Yeah, sometimes it's occupied with a full ship.
They both looked really angry that day. They were pounding a fist into their hand all morning.
The means! That's how they could have punched a hole through him.
Oh, yeah. I had actually read something that Priscilla Ship King had been doing bodybuilding.
You know where you read that?
I think I might have read that in the middle of our magazine.
You're darn right you did. I reviewed that piece. Incredible piece.
You reviewed that other piece in our magazine?
Yes, because it's about the body. And what does the head writer
how
do?
How was it?
You're trying to branch out.
Well, the head writer reviews the body. We all know that. And the piece was exceptionally well written, if you must know.
Beautiful. I would have expected nothing else in our delicious magazine.
And each of their motive what? Just they were enemies?
Well, they were enemies, but also each of them said something really... They both confided in me that they were mad at him for something that had happened the day before.
Same event, different event?
Different event. Priscilla Shipking, she was really, really upset because Clark had decided that the magazine wasn't going to be shipped on ships anymore to our international readers.
Mm.
Yep.
He was going to use the same boys to try and swim across the ocean?
Yeah. A big chain of them, because they can't swim so well because of their backs are broken and their heads don't fit right too much anymore.
They're horrible heads.
They could all do a human chain and kind of pass them across the ocean.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, it's like hands across the water.
Exactly. And Samuel Peepee was upset because the day earlier, Clark had tried to assassinate the president. And I feel bad because he was doing that as a favor to me.
Right, because of your hatred for Biden.
Oh, yeah. So do you feel partly to blame?
Only if Peepee did it.
Well, I believe they were in cahoots.
What?
What? Why?
You think you can punch through a man? You would need a punch from either side to do something like that.
Interesting. Or one punch. Yeah, they both punch. Well, one rips the arm off.
Yeah, that's true. Or, well, one punches, the other one would need to hold the arm. With that kind of force, it's going to rip the arm right off.
This is so stressful. I wish I had adoptive parents I could confide in.
You do.
Well, you do now.
Yeah, but we don't have that kind of relationship yet. I just met them the other day.
Why don't you want to tell your birth parents?
My birth parents? Those guys are old as hell. They're like over 30 years older than me.
So you went and you found three arms in three houses. Was either Priscilla or Samuel?
Yeah, I found one arm in Priscilla's house, one arm in the house of the Secret Service, and then one arm in the house of that serial killer we were talking about.
Okay, the serial killer, you scoffed at the very idea that he could exist.
Yeah, well, he's got it. Yeah, I don't think he's doing it, but he definitely has a house.
And is a serial killer.
And that's all in the past. Water under the bridge. He told me water under the bridge. He's moved on. He's now writing YA. Am I wrong?
You attacked? By me?
Yeah, he's writing YA BM.
It is by him.
So it's honest.
Okay, so we've gone back up to three suspects at this point.
If you want to call the serial killer a suspect, but I think we're kind of tilting at windmills there.
Oh, sorry, we're tilting at windmills?
I think that's an expression from Don Quixote, that middle-aged book from Spain.
I'll believe it.
You're going to that neck of the woods.
Yeah. Oh, I am, yeah.
Sorry, I was pointing at Steve.
Yeah, I don't ever go anywhere terrified.
Oh, jeez. Well, what
is this? I got stranded once on an island.
Yeah, he loves to remind us about that every single day.
Fear of travel.
Griffin, you're a big crime expert after all these years of doing this, surely. How do you whittle down a list of three suspects?
Well, the means, motive, and where they were. But they were all in the same place, they all had means, and they all had motive.
Mm.
Well, actually, we don't know that the serial killer was there.
I think the serial killer might have been... he might have been doing a big, exciting showing of his book.
That's right, he wasn't there. Mm. My son was there to get it signed.
Oh my god, always talking about his son.
What? I have a son.
Great. My Lucas. Parents are old as hell.
Now I'm thinking, with this new editor, sorry, what was his name?
His name was, let me remember. was it, I don't know.
Okay, but he's advocating for a better treatment of these
boys
something and
Jones?
Girls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lip Jones.
Lip Jones. That's right, Lip Jones. He's advocating for a better world for boys and girls, yes?
So he's also not going to want these kids going in the water. I don't think Priscilla benefits by him becoming the new editor.
Whoa, this is crazy good thinking.
So we've quickly narrowed it down to one. Pee-pee.
But it can't be Pee-pee, because Pee-pee is dating Lip Jones.
So he would have wanted Lip Jones to become editor.
I guess so, if you think he wants less free time for them to go on vacations. Do you think that? Let me ask you, Griffin, do you think that he would want that?
No, I don't want to now rule out everyone.
Fine.
Say it was Pee-Pee.
Fine, it was likely Pee-Pee, but I bet he was operating under orders from you-know-who-no.
Biden.
Let's just say that nasty old guy that wanted to blast my treehouse down just on account of I ate a cheese sandwich out of a protected eagle's nest. Griffin, you look so over it all.
And that wraps up another successful episode of Killed Today. I want to thank Zach Aaron for our theme song, Brady Schumer for our art. You can email us, killtodeathpodcast@gmail.com, if you have a suggestion for a murder. And if you just want to have a gas online, Kill to Death Podcast on Instagram or K2D Pod on Twitter. That's it for me. First, let's go to Steve for a show recommendation.
Check out The Bear. Did we talk about that?
You like The Bear?
It's pretty good. I'm only four episodes in, but pretty good. Worth a watch. It'll make you hungry.
It's about restaurants.
I'm just worried it's going to be accurate to working in a restaurant.
Don't worry. It's not. It's actually super mean. Not like the lovely restaurants that you used to work in. Your family run restaurants.
I'll see The Bear and I'll say, this is not my dad.
This is what it's not like at all. A restaurant.
This is what it's not like at all.
This is what it's not like at all. A restaurant is your grandmother warming a pie on the windowsill.
Or Bubby.
Oh, sorry.
And we're going to turn now to Hubert Hug. Hubert, you're a restaurant critic, but jacuzzi.com deals with lots of things. Are there Toronto-based people or events anyone should check out?
Can I shout out my adoptive parents?
Sure, depending who they are.
What do you mean?
No racists.
No, I would never ever be almost adopted by a racist. I would just like to shout out Diane and Stephen Williams of Topeka, Kansas. Thank you for almost giving me the life of my dreams.
And I want to say to all of our special listeners out there, keep your sticks on the ices.
Killed to Death is produced and recorded by Steve Cook and Griffin Toplitzky and is a proud part of the Sonar Network. Music by Zach Aaron. Art by Brady Schumer. Special thanks to Mike Mangiardi, Katie Lure, and Tom Shank. Please follow and like Killed to Death wherever you can so the boys know how to value their worth as human beings.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Sonar Network.